What I try to do when I speak on Sunday mornings, a lot of times somebody said, I don't know where you're going, I just kind of go with it. You'll eventually get to the point. And they also said, but if I pay attention to what you're saying at the beginning, when you get to the end, it's like, I understand that. So what I try to do is not just say, this is the way it is, but give a basis so that you can understand why theologians say this, why the Bible says this, or what happens in the Bible because of what the Bible says. And it's not that I'm brilliant. Oh, no. There are brilliant people out there who put this kind of stuff together, and I just get to sit around and read it and talk like I'm smart and use big words. So I'd ask for you to bear with me today so we'll come to an understanding. By the end of it, you'll say, oh, I get that. Now, the first thing I read this morning for the scripture was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. If you hear it in Hebrew, it goes something like this without the terrible accent. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ached. Yeah, it's Ached, like you're spitting, Ached. And it's just, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, that is the basis. That prayer is prayed by Orthodox Jews, good Jewish people, Reformed Jews. They pray that prayer in the morning, and they pray that prayer in the evening. That's the most famous part of it. Some of them add more verses onto it. But that's the one prayer that is considered foundational to monotheistic religion based on the Abrahamic God. Now, here's a couple of other scriptures I'd like to read. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Straightforward. John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John? Come on. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Notice that He was in the beginning with God. All things come into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. But remember, the first thing I said was, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet, when we read Genesis chapter 1, it came off saying that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the faces of the seas or upon the faces of the deep, upon the water. It didn't say God in the form of a spirit. It said the Spirit of God. God and the Spirit of God. And then when we read in John, it said in the beginning was the Word. That's the beginning, first verse. And then it said that He, and it's referring to the Word, He, the Word, was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and through Him, all things that came into being that exist. So we have God, we have the Holy Spirit who moved upon the waters of the deep, and we have the Word. Now, I know I've said this before, but when we use the word Word, it sounds like a singular word, and Jesus is the singular person. But the idea there, the word in Hebrew, logos or logos, is the idea of a complete expression. Jesus is the absolute, total, complete expression of God the Father. So if you want to know what God is like, you read about Jesus. And as you understand how Jesus is, thinks, does, acts, and function, then you can say, that's the way God the Father is. Now, a lot of people think God the Father, oh, God, big mean guy, always out to get you. But yet, when you read about Jesus, He was always there. He was always helping people. He was always healing people. He said, let the little kids come on up here with me. He didn't have to feed them cookies as a bribe because He just had that personality. The little kids wanted to come up, and He was stretching out His arms toward them, and they come up to Him. So Jesus is the complete expression of God. So God is the same way. He's not trying to get rid of us or to thump us or to beat us. He's always saying, I like you. Come on over here. For God so loved the world, so God loves us and He cares about us. Now, everything that came into existence was brought into existence by Jesus the Christ, as we know Him, the Son of the living God. Now, what we just said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the deep, and in the beginning was the Logos, and He created everything. So we have the Trinitarian doctrine of Christianity. And that word, no matter what they say, that word, ached, means one, but it also has that strong implication of unity. It's the unity of a diversity. There is one God. And we see that there is, within this concept of the God, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved on the deep. The Logos was with God. He created all things that came into existence, was done through Him. So the Trinitarian doctrine is there, and that word ached is the idea of not just a singular, but is a singular created out of a plurality. It's like there's an alternator, and you could say, that is an alternator. That is a unit, yes. But it takes the parts of that alternator to make that alternator. Okay? There is God. He is total. He's complete. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They make God. They are God. There is one God. And they are total. They are complete. And that is the basis of our Christian understanding of the Trinity. Also, they'll say, oh, ached means one. But when the Hebrew people really get right down to it, it's yached. Yached. Spelt with a Y. Y. Yached. And that means one. Absolutely one. Ached means this, has this implied unity of one. Now, keeping all that in mind, we then need to go on to this. We're going to find out, based on this, John chapter 17. We're going to read some of this. By the way, I have a volunteer reader. If I get squinty and I can't see it, they're going to jump up and read it for me. John chapter 17, verse 5 through 6. And it was a sincere offer, and I might have to accept it. Now, John chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. So, here's a couple of things. He that's speaking is Jesus, and he's praying this prayer, and he bluntly says, to glorify me, in other words, in that first verse, give me back the glory that I had, that I shared with you at the very beginning of creation. Before creation was, he's saying, I was there with you, and I had glory, but I laid my glory aside. I laid everything aside to come down to earth and to live as a perfect human. Yes, he could have called the 10,000 angels. He did not quit being God. He just laid everything aside and said, I will not use my private abilities and powers. I will do it like a human has to, a complete man, and have to seek God through prayer and understanding of the scriptures and walking by faith and not by sight. He says, that is what I have done, and now I want to be restored to the same glory that I had before. John chapter 17, verse 11. I am no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So he prays that we have this oneness. And then in chapter, or same chapter, verse 21, he goes on to add this, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So we have this prayer that Jesus is saying, and he says, God, it's over with. I'm coming home. I'm getting ready to leave this world. The people you gave me, they're still here. They're still in this world, but they're not going to be of this world. They're just going to be in it. I want to go back to you, and I want the glory that I had with you before this all got started, way back in the beginning, before we even created the heavens and the earth. I want us to go back the way we were, Father and Son, total unity here. Verse 11, remember, He said, I want them to be one. This is probably one of the most important things, this concept of unity. It is so important that Jesus Christ Himself, getting ready to go to the cross, knowing what He was going to be facing, He took the time. He didn't take the time and say, don't let this be painful. There's a lot of things I would say if they told me, you're going to die today, especially if it was going to be an execution, especially as bad as His was. He didn't pray about all that. That was a foregone conclusion when He got born into the world, that He was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. What He saw was so important was this concept of ached, of unity. He said, may they be one. As we are one, God, may they be one. May they come together and be one. May they grow and become one. Churches are more than just an assembly of people. Though a lot of churches are more social clubs today than actual, what we would say, church, a group of people who have committed themselves to Jesus Christ, they've become more social clubs or entertainment centers. And it's more than just an assembly of people who hold the same and like doctrines or hold the same interest. The assembly that Jesus wanted was this, that we should become a unit, that we should have this unity in diversity. He took the time right before He was going to go to the cross and say, God, I want those people that are going to be here to have that same unitedness that You and I have in heaven. I want it as in heaven, here on earth, and I want those people to be brought together. Father, God the Father used the idea of unity in John chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1, I say, using those verses, I'm sitting there going, God used diversity in unity to do all the things that He accomplished. It is so important then that we be united also, not just as individuals getting together, but as a unit. We should be coming more cohesive together as a group, and it was that important for Jesus Christ that we're, you can say, well, we're Glenwood Church. But how united are we as a group? God used the unity of diversity. Jesus prayed for our unity. And then the Holy Spirit, He indwells us so that we can accomplish that unity. We should pay attention to this because it is hammered in from the beginning at Genesis, from John where it talks about the beginning, and Jesus at the end of His life brought it down and said, this is something that needs to happen among the church people of God. We are so capable, where two or three are gathered in My name, there shall I be in the midst. He's saying, I want these people to be united, not just gathering in a building and having Bible services or having dinners in the back, and that's all well and good. I'm not against especially the dinners. I'm not against that stuff. But listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemy will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemy will fall before you by the sword. That is, He's just saying, I'm here for you, and when you achieve a unity, when you come together as a unit, more than just as individuals sitting in a room together, listening to the same sermons and reading the same Bibles and the same Sunday school lessons, when we achieve unity, He's saying there are great things that are possible in your future. You will be able to chase 100 of the enemy. 100 of you will be able to chase 10,000, and they will fall before your sword. Now, it's granted, that verse is specifically related to Leviticus, but things don't change. God is the same. He's saying, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. Two or three gather and they agree on anything, they achieve that unity, He will hear and answer the prayer. He's saying this to us. And the sword that He referred to with the Jewish people is definitely an absolute sword. with us, our sword is the Word of God. So he's saying, yeah, when you achieve unity, when you guys come together as a church, and he's referring to us here, when we come together as a church, we can use the Word of God and we can chase the enemy. And the enemy will fall before us by the Word of God. The enemy will crumple before us by the Word of God as we become united. Now, I don't know how clear I made this, so I'm just going to try to clear it up. I'm going to close by just asking a few questions. How united are we? I'm not saying we're having church fights. We're not. I'm not saying we hate each other. We don't. But we need each other. So the question is this. How many times a week do we seek God on behalf of Glenwood Church? How many times a week do we say, God, bring us together, unite us, lead us, God, protect us, make us an us as a unit. Father, bring us together. And then the second part of that is going to be, how many times a week do we pray for individual people of Glenwood? Not just the people on the prayer list who aren't feeling good, or the people who are not, they're having problems, whatever those problems happen to be, but actually stop by or stop and kneel or however you guys pray, set, whatever. How many times do you actually say, God, I ask you to bless Dwayne? Not that Dwayne's asked for it. He hasn't stood up in front of the church and says, I've got problems, please pray for me. Bless Dwayne, God. Bless Barb, God. Oh, please bless Doris Jean, God. Oh, please, please. You know, that kind of stuff. How many times do we think about the people in the church? We as people often fall prey to what they call the urgent rather than the important. And that just means there are things that are absolutely important, but we get distracted because somebody over here is going, hey, this is so important. This is urgent. You know, you go to an emergency room. They have triage. You walk in and they say, what's wrong with you? Uh-huh. Take a seat. We'll call you. You walk in, say, what's wrong with you? Uh-huh. Take a seat. We'll call you. And you think, well, I'm in line. And then somebody else walks in going, I'm having massive chest pains. I think it's a heart attack. And they go, uh-huh. Go right on in. Now, this is important, but we fall to the urgency. And heart attacks have priority over that, over sniffles and snotty noses and stuff like that. But so often people make noise to get the attention, and they will exaggerate things in order to get ahead of the line. And the people who are truly suffering are sitting over there waiting patiently. And God's saying, don't get distracted by what seems to be important. Know what is important. Are we spending time praying for the things that are important? Jesus Christ going to the cross, all of that was going to happen, he knew it, but yet he said, the important thing is that I pray to God the Father that my people have a unity. Because when we have that unity, God doesn't change, we will be able to do amazing things by his power, by his name. Here's the last question. Are we putting 5,000 to flight? Are we putting 5,000? We average about 50 people in attendance. Are we putting 5,000 of the enemy to flight? If 100 of us can put 10,000, surely 50 can put 5,000. Are we putting 4,000 of our enemy to flight? 3,000? I don't know. 100? But as we come to that place, what Jesus thought was so important, we will see the enemy, the darkness that's before us will start fading away, because it also says in the Bible that darkness cannot understand the light, and it cannot stand in the light and cannot overcome the light. So as we have that word in our lives, as we seek for that unity through prayer, praying for each other, bearing each other up, asking God to help every person, help us to get along with those people and to understand those people, as we get there, he's saying, you will start seeing the miraculous, and I use that term loosely. You'll start seeing amazing things happening in your church, and you will see the enemy being pushed away. Shall we close?